Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And I noticed that my friend Mark Woltz is out there. Mark, you out there? Or Heather.
This
Heather's
is Heather.
Out there. Yeah,
Heather's
I
thought
one of
these.
I got the wrong one. Sorry.
I still have my New York number.
You have your New York number, yeah. Mark's a 917. You're a 914. Yeah. So Heather's here, too. And where are you in Heather?
Heather Rowan Robbins from Ronan, Montana.
Ronan, Montana, named after her last name. She's moved there and is now riding. And then Uncle Mark just arrived, so we'll click him in. Uncle Mark, you're out there. Where are you broadcasting from?
Hello, kids. Hi, kids.
Hi, kids.
How you doing?
How is everybody?
We're good.
Good.
We have the hail the gangzo here. Nice moon in Sag, everybody shows up. It's party down at Access Astrology. Yeah. All to the good. Mm. So, yeah, it is 82 degrees. I was just coming in from dinner, and it's 82 degrees out. I had
Amazing.
Dinner with my friend Kathy, and we had a nice Italian meal. I'm sitting here very full. But I had a nice cup of cappuccino to keep me awake, iced cappuccino, my first of the season.
Ooh,
and
delicious.
Right now the rising sign is zero Sag with a lovely moon in Sag, so that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here to elucidate, illuminate, and help you all figure out how to work with the energies of the heavens. So it's actually no big excitement this week, except we're getting ready for Uranus to go into Taurus.
Absolutely. And we see Mercury fully coming out of its shadow and then squaring Pluto and then squaring Mars and then conjuncting Uranus. So by the end of the week, we've got some doozies cooking. And Venus is also moving into a square with Neptune, but not until early next week. So, the rest of this week, we've just got a few odd Mercury aspects that make communication and transportation a little glitchy. And keep the storms moving. I gather there's a tornado storm system working its way through the country right now. And, there's volcanoes cooking underneath Hawaii. There's been 250 earthquakes in the last few days. And, a few excitements, but it's more things are rumbling than they have actually impact yet.
Yeah, it's like underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that keeps us, nice and perky and awake because we're going, wow, stuff moving. Mm-hmm. And also as Mercury leaves his shadow, he gives us the last few things we have to know about. So that's the other part. He's in truth-telling mode, so when you hear it this week, it is the truth, even if you don't much like it. So that's the other part because this is his third pass, so he's, really ready to fork over the info. And say, okay, I'm speaking truth, and you like it or you don't like it, right? So it's kind of a feisty energy. So
it is.
Mark, what have you noticed about the heavens?
Well, it is relatively quiet, but Pluto and Mars have been so active that we're just feeling them all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of Pluto Mars stuff, and it's playing itself out in what I see as a lot of power struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Power struggles with people or power struggles with...
And the politicians are off the charts.
Yeah, the politicians are definitely doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But one gift of that, I saw, when you've got two planets like that, it's either... war can create death and power struggles, or there can be the death of war. And it was interesting that as they conjunct, the North Korea and South Korea shook hands on a truce and buried a tree. Now, that's rather a miracle. And I gather one of North Korea's recent atomic bomb experiments underneath a mountain started to cause the mountain to fall in, and they began to say, maybe we should stop all of these experiments. And suddenly we see a reconciliation between North and South. I don't know what it means, but you know, that's the end of a war that's been going for 60, 70 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1950s, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So
that's...
It's a shift.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're working with this Pluto-Mars energy and saying, how can we share it? And can we be stronger if we, you know, acknowledge each other? At least so far, mm-hmm. that's what they're saying. They're trying to say that, or put it that way.
Yeah.
And
so we'll see how it goes.
Idea.
But it's like, the, yeah. you know, talking again for the first time in forever is a good thing. Because, you know, at least there's an opportunity to move the needle somehow. Because
mm-hmm.
we're maybe listening, we're maybe talking. But Mercury in Aries is kind of fierce talk, too. So, you know, we had the White House press correspondence dinner this weekend on that lovely full moon in Scorpio.
That was a Mars-Pluto. Yeah.
That was a Mars-Pluto, yeah. And, you know, it was, you know, so it's kind of a, you know, Mars-Pluto, the eruption of the energy. And then kind of, you know, you go, when you, it's interesting because when you go listen to what she actually said and hear her speech, mm-hmm. she kind of called out everybody. And she ended with,
everybody.
You know, there's still no water in Flint, you know. Mm-hmm. Flint still doesn't have any water. And, you know, so the... It's an interesting conundrum because it's like, well, you know, what actually are we, you know, what kind of dialogues do we have? And you know, people were also saying, you know, what is humor? What's humor
mm-hmm.
for?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, these are all important questions because if we can't laugh at ourselves or we can't, you know, communicate, and I have to say I didn't particularly find what she said to Sarah Huckabee that offensive. I mean, I would have been more offended if I was Kellyanne Conway called out for being a liar. But it's interesting what we choose to focus on. So, and
right.
I think that's the other part
and,
is with
yeah,
these,
and
with
that
these
was
aspects.
You know, if you're gonna have a comedian on the full moon in Scorpio, what can you expect?
Right. Right.
And with Mercury in Aries,
right.
and it. What always amazes me is that, you know, the comment that they're holding her to higher standards than they do the rest of the political system.
Right.
That, yes, what she said was outrageous, but none of it was wrong.
None of it was
not true.
It
may have been
yeah.
rudely said, but none of it was a lie. And
yeah.
if you put together some of the nastiest of tweets this year from the president, they're far more offensive than anything she could have said.
Right. Anything.
So,
anything that she did say. Yeah.
And she said. And she said with humor, which
yeah.
he did not. So.
Right.
And we, you know, there's a wonderful piece of Sarah Huckabee saying the president was kidding. I think all of you should get a sense of humor. When
mm-hmm.
he was, when she was backtracking on one of his more offensive statements.
Yeah.
And that
say,
sort
okay,
of leaves you
kidding.
Wide open for that.
Yeah. You. She was kidding. You should get a sense of humor.
That's what Huckabee said about
mm-hmm.
a comment that, you know, on one of the nastiest sides that Trump made. And if you use that to hide your opinion, then you really are leaving yourself wide open.
Right, 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 right. Yeah. Yeah. So that also running as a strong energy, and
mm-hmm.
With the Mercury Pluto stuff. You know, what we're working with as this energy kind of takes place is that we really do get a whole different vision. So he's actually not squaring Pluto until next Monday the 7th. But he does play a lot with the moon is going to go in and play with Pluto this week too. So it's an interesting week where we're really going to be working with some powerful energies. But a lot of it felt like we can take a break a little bit to me. Like, it's not
mm-hmm.
as intense, you know, as
mm-hmm.
the last couple,
mm-hmm.
which have been kind of where we get to do some interior processing and
mm-hmm.
kind of come up with a different, you know, not, you know, because when it's so frantic and you just can't stop for the news breaking every 30 seconds into some new story,
mm-hmm.
You know, you can't keep up. You know, you leave your computer for 5 minutes and you're like, oh, my God, what else happened? So that part I'm kind of looking forward to this week might actually be. Of course, Uranus is at the last degree of
mm-hmm.
Aries. So I think we should talk a little bit about that for folks. So whenever a planet's at the last degree, it does a shout-out to the energy, and it goes back to when it went into Aries, which was in 210 to 11, and it's been rolling through the Aries house in your chart, and now it's about to go into Earth on the 14th, and as it does that, it takes you back 10 years, so you're back working with old story, and also like a culmination, like a kind of a, you know, the end of the movie where they do the little cliff notes. You remember where you were, you know, back when you were, when this was going on? So it's important to kind of think back to what was going on in 2-10 to 11 in the house in your chart ruled by Uranus, and then recognize that it that Aquarian energy is up for some change. So I know in my case, that's when I kind of started doing, you know, really pushing my students to sit for certification. And, you know, I got a call from the New York Times, a reporter for the New York Times, wanting to talk to my certified students. And
that's
I'm
kind of
like, okay, yeah, well, you know, promoting certification is, you know, something that astrologers should do as part of, you know, their credentialing. And we had somebody in the Access group say, you know, there is no counseling techniques. I said, no, there's totally counseling techniques in the different certification programs. And one of the women wrote and said, I'm signing up for the certification because I heard your piece with Chris Brennan on why astrologers should be certified. So, you know, so I gave her to the New York Times lady, too. It's, you know, I don't know her. She just heard a podcast where I said, this is why, you know, you should claim your authority, you know, and say, hey, I studied, I know stuff, I'm measured by my peers, they say I'm a good astrologer, and I know my stuff. So that part's all good. So
excellent.
Yeah, that's good. It's very positive.
And, now Uranus will go back into Aries and from November till next March. So this is not the last shout out Uranus gives us. So there's maybe something that happens again next winter and early spring that reminds us of this time and the beginning of the 2010 era, 2012.
Yeah, what that
That's
was
fun.
All about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have that to look forward to. Yeah, we get a taste of it now.
And you feel those changes coming as both Mercury and Mars start to set off the Uranus-Pluto square and echo it, which shows like a sadness when it hits Pluto first. It says, here's a problem, you know, or here's a loss, or here's a fear, and then the Uranus. And now what changes do you want to make? So when all the faster planets hit those two together, it's, ouch, okay, now let me shift it. And so when you feel something, when you feel a door close, and there will be some doors that close and decisions that need to be made in the next few weeks, when those doors close, you know that there is a change and a new opening coming, but it's going to take some, you have to turn away from the closed door and go, okay, that's not working, what will? And look for the Uranian change, look for the Uranian shift in gear.
Right.
And it'll be just kind of warming up this week and really sort of kick in next week.
Right, right. This be true. And we love these changes. This is, you know, I always love when outer planets change signs because they give us an opportunity to really get to know the planet in a whole new way. You know, so it's been 84 years since Uranus was last in Taurus. And so when we're working with his energy, we kind of are like, wow, you know, what happened last time you were there, oh, Taurus, oh, Uranus, what did you guys plan for us then? And now what do you have planned for us ahead? You know, so it's kind of it's an interesting thing because these are where the bigger cycles come in, where we go, wow, what happened 84 years ago? And, you know, where are we in that journey now because we're initiating a whole new chapter?
Yeah, so, we went smack dab into the New Deal, as I remember.
As I remember, yeah.
The last time. Yeah, and, you know, looking at the material world from different eyes. How else could we do this? You know, people were experimenting with socialism. The New Deal kicked in because we didn't like the financial conditions before that.
Right.
It was the Great Depression. So it's a really looking for options that create more stability in the material world. And that what that means to us personally.
Right, yeah. It means to us personally and what it means to us as a collective, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so.
That's going to be kind of exciting. And that means changes to your body, changes to your finances, changes to, you know, how we manage our resources of all types.
Mm-hmm. Any kind of physical reality you have in your life is up for change. Of a Taurian
nature.
Isn't that exciting? Remember, Tauruses hang on to things really tight with very tight fingers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like to let stuff go.
And they opt for security. That so it's not changes about like, here, take a total risk, drop everything and run off to Timbuktu. It's really like, how can you get more stable?
Right.
Yeah, that's Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
But when you bring Uranus into it, it crashes.
Yeah. It's almost an oxymoron.
Yeah, because Uranus goes stable. What do you want stable for? Unstable is so much more fun. Yeah, unstable is so much more than more fun. And people go, oh, unstable. Well, what'll happen? I know you're going to die anyway, so you might as well take a risk. You know, like go for it. Give yourself permission. But
well,
it
actually,
does have a little clutchy. Pardon, Mark.
One of the things that's coming up is new forms of currency.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's
the Bitcoin,
and
the ones. Mm-hmm. That will
and
be
the
an
cryptocurrencies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually started having people ask me, can they take money payments in that? And I kind of am like, well, I mean, how do you know?
Yeah.
Until the IRS figures out what they're doing with it, I'd be careful. But because they're paying attention to it, they're going, what is this cryptocurrency stuff? But yeah, it's kind of like. You know, it is definitely rising, and I have clients who are really into it. So, they're not my Taurus clients. My Taurus clients are like, yeah, right, cryptocurrency. Yeah, I don't think so. I like my gold bars in my bank account. Thank you very much. But yeah, it's a fun time. So it's exciting.
Wonderful.
Anything else?
Shall
we take some callers?
Yeah, let's take some callers.
All right. Let's see who's out there. Whoops. Hang on, I got to pull up my Blog Talk thing. I was looking at the sky. So we have a couple of hands raised, so we'll go with the one that's been on hold since before I got here. Hi, 202-281, you're on the air. How can we help?
Hi,
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to take a look at a new guy that I think is better than the old guy you guys looked at for me a while ago.
So what's your birth information, and then give us his.
So it's March 5th, 1980.
1980?
Mm-hmm, 1980.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
March 5th, Philadelphia
time,
1:29 a.m. 1:29 a.m.
Okay. And where, you said, Brooklyn?
In Philly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell my computer it's Philadelphia, not Philly, because I just typed in Philly and it didn't know what I was talking about. and your new person?
Okay. He is December 13th.
What year?
73.
Do you know the time?
I do, 9:30 a.m.
Okay. And where?
Tongeren, Belgium. T-O-N, like Nancy, G-E-R-E-N, Belgium.
Okay.
Ooh, can't wait.
P-O-N-G-E-R-E-N?
T like Tom.
T, okay, T like Tom. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I got a P, not a T.
Tom
and it liked that one better. Okay, good. And what's your question?
What do you see with the two of us? Good, bad, ugly.
What do you see? What was the question?
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay. Well, his sun is on your Neptune, so you're going to see Neptune. You're going to see him through a Neptune soft filter. So when I see that, I'm always like, oh, okay, Neptune soft filter on his sun in Sag. His sun's in the first, so it can be very much light up your life, and his sun's on the north node, so that's in your first, so it feels very connected on many levels. You know, kind of you recognized him across a crowded room, and you went, wow, hi, how are you? That would be my first take, and he's very stimulating to you because his Uranus is right on your moon Pluto. And so I would be curious if there's a triangle with him, and obviously the triangle could be distance. Does he live near you or does he live far away?
Belgium. But
he lives in Belgium. Sometimes in New York. Okay, so that's the Pluto. That's the triangle is the distance. And
well, also, a wife just passed away as well. Well, about a year ago. So
say what?
That counts as well. He's a widow. His wife passed away about a year ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's still kind of in the process of figuring out what he's going to do with his life. Yeah, yeah.
I would think
so. That's the other triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the connection's very strong for sure. You know, and you have his moon in Leo is, you know, in your, you know, it's you're really going to feel a very strong connect with him on many levels. So that part's nice.
Okay.
You know, I think that the real key is, you know, where he is in his mourning process. Because that's a pretty big thing. His Mars is on your Venus. That's lovely. You know, you both find each other very attractive. And with his rising sign being Capricorn, he's about to have Uranus come to trine it. So he's kind of looking at a new process. Excuse me. And he also had Saturn recently come across his ascendant. So he's ready, you know, he's been given birth to himself, really, birthing a new life. With that Saturn across the ascendant. So I would say, you know, depending on how journeyed he is or how healed he is from the loss of the wife, you know, it can take a little while because he does have Saturn on the south node with her, you know, being the first partner or being in the kind of close to the relationship house. So, Heather, Mark, you guys want to weigh in?
Thank you.
Hello?
Oh, hello. I'm still
processing. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a lot of flexibility toward a partner, and that'll serve you well. You're open and willing to just see what happens, where things go, and willing to take it easy. And I think that's a good approach here.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the magic of it.
Mm. Yeah,
because there's a lot of Neptunian magical creativity between the two of you and a lot of intuition. Just notice that, just fact check yourself and confirm understandings and watch out for projections. But enjoy the magic of it. You're really here to bring each other to some more magical place.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Sounds positive.
It is.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think it's just where he is in the mourning process, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Plus
yeah,
the distance.
That's my whole trepidation of why I want him to be very, very, very slow. Because I don't want to be, you know, not I don't want to say used, but you know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Help someone get over someone and then
stay in the present with each other rather than try to figure out where you're going. It'll take a while before the dust clears and you can see where you're going. But in the meantime, there could be some real magical healing in the process.
Mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah, so keep the flexibility. Don't try to make it. Don't try to drive the connection. Just let it develop and let parts of it be strong for a while, parts of it, you know, let it come and go.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other thing is, you know, a lot of times I'll say to clients when they have a Venus, a Moon, Pluto like you do, you know, a good partner is someone who has a dead wife. I mean, because she's still part of the relationship, but she's not. You know, it's a good way to use the Pluto energy up because it helps the Pluto have a place to land. So, you know, aside from him being relatively recently widowed, you know, which is, of course, a process, there's a whole journey there. Do you know if the wife was ill for a long time before she passed or was it sudden?
Yes, for 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's had time to really, truly work on it. You know, on because the process wasn't like she got killed in a car crash or something like that. It was a long journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. And that's what he said. She actually helped him do that and wanted him to be, you know,
and, you know, he's got Uranus going back and forth, touching his Mars. He's still really coming awake. And Uranus is going to come back and still whisper to his Mars. He is, you know, wants to be fully alive and grab life by full by all his hands. So help him be fully alive.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, guys.
Great.
Sure. You're welcome.
Take care.
So good luck with it. Keep us posted. You know. On another note, one of my favorite people in the world met her husband met her boyfriend, who she's very serious, and moved to Amsterdam, and she met him at an astrology conference a few months after she was widowed, and they went out for dinner, and she cried for the whole first meeting, and he's like, well, why don't we just be friends? So they Skyped for a while, like 2.5 years.
Wow.
And then it kind of shifted into romance, and now she's packed up her life and moved off and is living in Amsterdam now, well, outside of Amsterdam in Danneberg. So, you know, it's but for her it was, you know, losing the husband and this guy. And she said, you know, he had girlfriends and on and off, but the relationship, the continuation of it was really nice. And because you guys have that Mars, Venus, and Aries, this is your opportunity to say to him, let's fire this up, let's have fun, let's create, let's go wild, because life is short and we don't know how long we have. And so there's a real strong appreciation of each other with that. Where his Mars and Aries on your Venus says, okay, let's go. Now, you do have a little conflict, not huge, but your Mercuries don't really get each other. You know, he has Mercury on Neptune, you have Mercury in Pisces, so, and they're square to each other, a little wide, but it still counts. So communication can be an area where the relationship's a little fraught. So you do have to watch communication with him in terms of, okay, how do we work with this, you know? How do we communicate? And so that piece you really want to work on. But otherwise, I think it's a nice match. So
cool.
And I'm all for these, you know, forward motion relationships. Life is new, you know. So good luck with them. Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
Wonderful.
So the British lady said we have 90 seconds. So I'm going to UAC. You guys in UAC?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Mark, you in UAC?
I'll say, and you both are speaking there, isn't that correct?
I'm speaking, yeah. I was just working on my speech today. I was like, Venus affliction.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I am not speaking there. I am going. It's the first one I've been to in a long time, so I'm looking forward to it.
You're looking forward to partying down.
Partying down, seeing everybody, hearing new things.
Right. New things.
And for anybody else, at the United Astrology Conference, and that only happens every 4 years or so, it's going to be in Chicago at the end of the month. If you're interested, just Google United Astrology Conference.
United, and it is, it's been 6 months since the last, 6 years since the last one. So they like to do every 4 years, but every now and then they have a little burp. And it's 6 years.
Yeah.
So we're all going to be there. So if you see us and you listen to the podcast, come on over and introduce yourself and say hi. I know Mark and I are both a little shy. Heather's not. Heather's like, hi, how are you? But Mark and I kind of go, oh, hi, glad you liked the show. Good, good. And then we kind of look at you. You have to continue the conversation. But definitely come over and say hi, because we will be there and look forward to meeting you if you listen to us. And if you don't and you want to come, it does do day trips. You don't have to do the whole, you know, the whole week-long conference. You can just bop in for what you want and bop out. A lot of the people that you read the books about with the astrology, or that you've heard, you know, talking or writing, or so it's a great opportunity. And everywhere you go, people are going, well, you know, my Saturn's about to have an aspect with my Venus. You know, you're in the elevator, and it's like the whole world is talking your language, which doesn't.
It is. It's just heaven.
Yeah, that part's really delicious. So hopefully we'll see you all there, and we'll be back in the next couple weeks, so we'll remind you about it again too. So this is Ann Ortley signing off from the Bright Red Desk.
Heather Roland Robbins
Mark
from Montana. And
good. Mark Waltz in New York. Thanks for listening.
We'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
See you all next
week. Big hug. Bye, guys.
I know.